Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
If you'll forgive me, are we on? Check, one, two, okay. If you'll forgive me, I'm just finishing my giving online. I found out I had to change my debit card because... And so I'm just finishing up my giving, so... It's that easy, and I even had to put in a new credit card or debit card to do that. And there we go, and we got it done. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. What makes this the house of the Lord is not the brick and the steel and the carpet and the chairs, but it is the people of God, the people of God. Something that I want to rejoice is the favor of the Lord that has been extended to us as a congregation. We have some, you know, technology is always expanding and growing, isn't it? Cell phones and so on and so forth. By the way, if you happen to find somebody called, they were at a meeting, we let our church be used by another group yesterday, Friday and Saturday night, and somebody called and said, I think I left my cell phone there. So first of all, install the app, Easy Tithe, and be sure to give a... And then, no, I'm kidding. But keep your eyes peeled for a black and red case on a Samsung phone. If you happen to find that, it's possible that it was left here. It's possible also that somebody else in that group scooped it up and they haven't yet heard. But if you happen to find that, please let me know and turn that into us so we can get back to the rightful owner without dunning them for tithes and offerings to Vision Church. Along the lines of technology, something that I've been trying to do is basically upgrade our wireless connection here so that when people come in, they can get connected to the internet and things that we have to offer, connected to our webpage. And so I'm pleased to announce that after a process of several months, a fellow who is just amazing at this is his job. To give you a little insight of the scale of the job, is he supports hospitals with networks. That's pretty important. And the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo, the entire grounds, their company installs and maintains all of their connectivity to the internet for their guests as well as their vendors as well as people on staff. And so he, I happen to know because his daughter attends the same school my daughter does. And as we sat in fellowship and got to know one another, I asked him a couple questions about technology. Next thing you know, he wanted to show up and look. Next thing I knew, he dropped off a spool of fiber optic cable. Then we installed it. He connected it up, and we're getting the wireless access points together so that we're going to have actually three networks available here at Vision Church. All our equipment, sound system, all that's going the digital way. And so you can actually sign in to that now. Some of you have been signed in over to something that we use the password Jolly Train 902, I think, to get in. But now you can look, and if your phone will recognize a network, you can see something that's entitled VCAG Guest. And if all you have to do is click on that, your phone will pop up some sort of dialog box, hopefully. And all you have to do is enter in a password, capital V, capital C, capital A, capital G. And that will get you on VCAG. I know this works on the Apple in the sense that when you do that, it pops up a screen that you have to sign in there and then and confirm that you're going to be play nice while you're on the internet. And then it will open up automatically the church website. And so that when somebody's visiting, somebody's coming on our campus, that as their phone is out looking, if it's set this way, it will look for it and pop this information up on their phone automatically. And they'll have that simple. So feel free to share that with people who are visiting. We're going to post it around the facility. They are welcome to get on there. We have the ability, if somebody's not behaving, to actually ground them. And then they can't use the internet. So if our neighbors happen to find it's a better deal to get on our internet, we can say, no, sorry, can't be on there. But we don't want to do that. We just want to make it available. So as we have resources and other things that people can easily connect to that, and we want to be able to do that. If you want to go to Easy Tithe then and so on and so forth, it'll be very easy for you to do it, not use your signal or your data. And there it is. Pastor Steve has done it. And right there is our website, which is continually we're working on and developing. So thank you, Pastor Steve, for that. I just wanted to give that plug as we go forward this morning. We've been focusing upon that threefold cord, and one of those strands of that threefold cord, we are hailing back to the book of Ecclesiastes, which says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's not easily broken. And God has a plan for our life, for us to be strong, for us to be together, to get it together, to do more than simply make heaven our eternal home, but to succeed and overcome in His name right here and right now. Amen? He says, this is eternal life, that they might know Him. And so as we bind ourselves together with Him, and as we follow His Word, we find that there is a threefold cord that He wants to build into our life, and we've used that as a background for our understanding. One of the cords that we first explored was what? The prayer. 40 days of prayer. Then the next one was 40 days in the Word. Or maybe we did it the other way. I don't remember now. I slept since then. Word, then prayer. And then the third of the threefold cord is the church. The church. And there are a whole lot of people who have a whole lot of opinions about the church. And let's be honest and frank, there's a lot of people that want to find ways of doing life without the church. But that's simply not biblical. It's not the Word of God. It's not God's plan. And so we're going to spend the next couple, we've already started, we're going to continue on this idea of the church, and we're looking to the Word of God for some basis of understanding about what is the church, how do I fit, connect, how do I get involved, what's the plan, what's God's big idea for the church. And as we begin to unpack that, we see that the church is mentioned extensively in Scripture. It's prefigured in the Old Testament. It's explicitly explained in the New Testament. And we talked about this last week. It's God's really big idea. It's His plan for revealing His wisdom to this world into His physical creation. Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 19. I think it's helpful if we go right back to the authority and the rock of the church, none other than Jesus Himself. Simon Peter answered when Jesus asked, who are others saying I am, and who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a great profession. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You like that for a positive statement? Man, you can do some cheerleading on that statement. And I will, but wait, there's more. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is a promise that people want to make just isolated to Peter, but Jesus is introducing the idea of the church, and He's speaking about how the church functions upon the earth and the flow of God's power that is revealed in His church. We looked at this last week. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. His intent was that now. How many of you know that God often gets accused of bad intentions? And as human beings, isn't this amazing? This is kind of how we operate when it comes to intentions. We judge ourselves by our actions, by our own intentions. And we attribute to others through their actions the worst intentions. Well, I can't believe you stepped on my foot. Well, I'm sorry, it was an accident. No, you meant to do that. And we have this amazing capacity of human beings to cut ourselves slack and do the most horrible things with the best intentions, and we're supposed to be able to say, King's X, I'm not guilty. But somebody else can do something very innocent and accidental, and we will attribute to them the heart of Lucifer, with the worst and darkest intentions of pulling that off. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to say amen. We know it's true. We all know it's true. We all struggle there. But God's intentions are not our intentions. And we very often are mistaken in that we attribute to God our own dark thoughts and our own intentions. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we covered last week this idea. The church is God's big idea. It speaks family. It runs on agape. It develops character. And it reflects His glory. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad that you're invited to participate in something called the church? So let's all say the church together. You ready? One, two, three. The church. But you know what? There's some aspects to it that's still mysterious. It's hard for us to get our minds around, and it's hard for us to reconcile some things that we've seen happen in the context of people gathered together in the church and the kingdom of heaven, and we're not quite sure what to do with that difference. So as we move on, I want us to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And we hear the Apostle Paul. He's been giving a letter of instruction to Timothy, his son in the faith, and somebody who functions in as an elder, a leader in the what? Church. He says, although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. Everybody say household. Which is the church, everybody say church, of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Wow. Not only does God have this big idea of the church, but look how vital the church is. He calls it the pillar and foundation of truth. Didn't Jesus say, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free? So the church is called to reflect and be not only the glory of God, but we have to understand something, that the church is foundational to everything that God is doing in the world. And the cornerstone of the church is who? Jesus, the Christ of God. It brings us full circle back to the previous scripture when He says, who are men saying I am? And they gave them all the ridiculous statements of what people thought who Jesus was. Then He says, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. And He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Apostle Paul would later use this terminology. He would say, let each man take heed how he builds thereon. There is no other rock or foundation than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Peter calls Him the chief cornerstone. He is called the author, the finisher of our faith, the bishop of our souls. Peter refers to Him as that. He's the cornerstone. He is the rock of our salvation. So He is the foundation and the cornerstone. And we have to be careful how we build the church. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's look at the church as the way Paul expresses it, God's household and family. I've just become very sensitive to this set of words that we use that is very family-oriented. And I was listening this morning through worship, through the conducting of a prayer, through Pastor Cindy getting up and leading us in a prayer. And over and over and over, I heard this, and it's so biblical. We heard God referred to as Father, Heavenly Father, our Father. We heard people being referred to as brothers and sisters. And all through the service already, we've heard family language over and over and over. And it's only fitting that the people that we are connected to by blood and by adoption on the earth, that we feel so powerfully for them, we love them, we want to see people that we are combined with on the earth in families, we want to see them become a part of the family of God. You know what? I believe that was Jesus' number one ambition. His number one on His list was to see the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve to become the sons and daughters of the living God. Isn't that awesome? That's so awesome. Jesus was moved with his number one priority to see people to come in to the family of God. God thinks family is so important that he began with a family, Adam and Eve. Now, very quickly, did we see that family go off the rails? It can't go off the rails much more than your firstborn killing one of the younger. Now, we understand that firstborn often feel like killing the younger. But in the book of Genesis, we are introduced to fratricide, which is a brother killing a brother, in the story of Cain and Abel. So it begins. Murder, the first gross sin other than the fall of Adam and Eve, is now manifested upon the planet with murder, and it occurs within the context of a family. So we have to understand something. Earthly families, it's really exceptional if they're not dysfunctional. Dysfunction with a capital D flourishes in families because people are raised in families and people are dysfunctional. And it goes right back to the beginning that men and women are fallen and they are afflicted by rebellion and death and sin, and it manifests itself in capital D dysfunction. But I've got great news for us in the midst of that reality. And there is a more powerful aspect of that reality. Jesus, who knew no sin or dysfunction, was born into a family and identified himself with the earthly family and Adam and Eve and David and others, and took our place and took the beating and took the punishment and has offered to us life everlasting and grace that can change and transform people no matter the beginning grounds of their dysfunction. Would you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? But what it all circulates around, what it all encompasses is this idea of God's household and family. So when it comes to a household and family, how many of you, don't point to anybody, but how many of you ever seen a family that just has it so together, you sat there and said, boy, I wish I could have been part of that family. Now, kids will do that every time. If they know a kid whose parents are multimillionaires and they fly to Hawaii, boring, every Christmas, and go on helicopter tours of the island, then they say, why couldn't I have been born to that family? Right. So there are people that we've been around that we kind of say, you know what, why couldn't they have adopted me? If their parents seem to give them everything, totally lenient, don't care where they're at, we say, boy, I wish they would have adopted me. And so kids very often see that and say, you know, why couldn't it worked out a little bit better for me? When it comes to the family of God, this idea of eternal life, this idea of life and more abundantly, this idea of those who know me shall never die because I'm the one who died and now live, and whoever is found in me will not taste of death, but instead will be raised to new life and live forever. That kind of promise. When you see that kind of promise, you say, how do I get in on that? Right? How do I get into that family? Now, the great invitation is that God has invited us to his family. He's not invited us to his servanthood. He has not invited us to the outward limits of what he's doing. But he has invited us, every one of us, to take the position of a firstborn son with all the responsibilities and blessings and approach his throne boldly for help in the time of grace and to be called by his name and stand upon the earth and represent him. That is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Give him another applause right there. I think that's powerful. I'm trying to help you to become a little bit envious this morning. If you're a believer, I'm trying to help you to remember the high calling in Christ Jesus you've been called to. You've not been called to be the tail. You've been called to be the head. You've not been called to struggle forever and then die and that's it. You've been called to enter into struggles, make gold out of that struggle, and bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Stand before a reward throne and receive crowns of glory, and then sit down with Christ in heavenly places and rule forever. That's what you're called to. That's the great hope. That's the great calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, when it comes to that, when I hear something like that, the first obvious question I have is, how do I get in on that? How do I get in on that? I have to go a little bit further, and I've had privilege in my life. It was a privilege for me, probably painful for them. But I've encountered some people that have heard their stories. And I know somebody in my life, lives in Albuquerque, whose grandfather knew those who started the idea of Coca-Cola. And he was offered a ground floor opportunity to invest for the gross sum of like $1,000 in what would be Coca-Cola. And his response was this: who would ever drink that mess? Seems like we taught the whole world to sing about Coca-Cola. That $1,000 could have been leveraged into a family fortune rivaling some of the great oil magnates of our day. And every time he sees a Coca-Cola commercial, he can't help but think, oh, that grandpa would have spent the money that he had and would have invested. It would have set us so well. That's the kind of envy. That's the kind of that sense of, oh, what an opportunity. What a potential. How do I get in on that? How do I get in on that? Well, how do I get in, how do I grow, and how do I impact my world are three questions I want to hit this morning and really want to place some emphasis. How do I get in? You see, families typically begin and grow through birth. Sometimes it seems outlandish, but the book of Genesis, the Bible, continuously asks us to believe this. This entire globe was meant to be populated by a beginning pair of one male and one female. And we sit there and we go, ridiculous. Why? Because we're looking through the lens of a lifespan of 90 years, probably a maximum time of 50 years of reproduction, somewhere in there, and no desire to have more than just a few children. Some of us in our past can think back to the people who had 13, 16 children, raised them on a farm, had a section of land, so on and so forth. Happened in New Mexico, West Texas, and so on and so forth. But we're so much more civilized now, we don't do that. We have our 2.5 children, maybe. And somebody's wondering, how do we divide the baby on that one? But the Bible also teaches us that Adam lived over 900 years. And if we were just to take our current lifespan as 10% of that, that meant that Eve was capable of reproducing for 500. And if we give her a year off every once in a while for good behavior, Adam and Eve had 500 children. How many of you like to fill out those Christmas cards? Wow. Wow. So that's just probably more. And then grandchildren, so on and so forth. And so you have the entire earth, by the time of the flood of Noah, by that mathematics, over several billion living upon planet earth. What was God's command? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. God's family grows in number by people being born again. That's how the kingdom of heaven expands. And we see in Scripture that they have to be born again. It talks about the church being added to, and it talks about the church being multiplied. in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, let's go back to the head of the church again. This is what Jesus said. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. People have to be born into a family. People have to be born again into the family of God. There is no such thing as being born to somebody who loves God and getting by osmosis entrance into the kingdom of heaven. That moral sentient person has to themselves come to a place of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. One of the great tragedies are there are fine people, nice people, good people, neighborly people all around us who are kind and nice and fine, and we wouldn't mind, even in their current state, living in eternity with them. But God has placed this provision. If you're going to come to me, you have to be drawn by the Spirit, you have to come through the Son, and you must be born again. Only those who are born again can inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is precisely why we pray every Sunday over people who are lost or are drifted away from Christ. Why? Because we believe that the church and the heart of the church is that people must be born again in order to see the kingdom of heaven, in order the kingdom of and enter the kingdom of heaven. And as part of God's plan, this is what places somebody in the overall body of Christ. They're born again. Now, I have a question before you, and I just want you to entertain as we go on this point. Are you born again? Very often when that question is laid out to a person, their response is, well, I'm pretty good. In fact, if you were to go to the average house in this average neighborhood, knock on the door and say, if God asked you right now, why should I let you into my eternal kingdom, what would be your reasoning? Their answer will be something like this. Well, I haven't ever killed anybody. Well, that's a high standard. Just avoid murder and you're in like Flynn. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that all our righteousness is filthy rags, that we cannot make an approach to God on our own works and our own merits. All we can do is agree with Him that all of our intentions and all of our attempts at righteousness fall short of the glory of God, but there is one, Jesus Christ, who died in our place and died for our sin and took all of that punishment upon Himself so that we could be offered the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gospel. And I would tell you, that's great news. And what an affront and an insult to God to say, I think I'm good enough. Excuse me? That's like you strolling in, having never played the violin, to the bass hall and saying, I think I'm good enough. I think I should sit on this stage, and I think I should be seated in chair number one of the violin section. Yeah, draw that bow across that string once. And listen and watch the expression of the maestro as he says, hopefully kindly, I think you need to go to some lessons. And maybe if you really knock yourself out and work on it really hard and long, you can see me in about 30 years and find a place on this stage. What an affront that would be to speak in the natural to the maestro in front of the Fort Worth Symphony Orchestra at Bass Hall. He say, hopefully kindly, come and see me again when you've really put yourself into practice. But you know, when it comes to righteousness, we can't practice enough. We can't work enough. We just can't do it. The answer isn't to give up on it. The answer is to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and say, I fall short. I mess up. I am altogether conceived in sin, but you have come that I might have life. And that I might have it more abundantly. And we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And what happens when a person accepts Jesus, the work of the Spirit happens in their heart, they are born again. They come to life spiritually. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. I want you to think about this. I'm just going to lay it before you before we go to the next point. being born again is an event. It happens one time. A person is born again. But salvation is a process. Born again is an event. Salvation is a process. Jesus said, except you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. You can't enter the kingdom. That entering into is something that's involved in a process. That becoming a part of is something that is a process. But when a person's born again, they're born again. And a person who is born again is a baby. Now, how many of you ever heard of those people? You might suspect you know people like this, but I think it's maybe happened a very few times in history. And that is somebody who was lost in a wilderness as a little baby or a child and was raised by a pack of wolves or something like that, right? We hear those stories. Wow, they were taken into the pack of wolves. We love the story of Tarzan, the abandoned baby, raised by apes and wolves and others. And then you have the snake and you have all of those. That's the legend of Tarzan. But we have these stories that say, you know, it could happen. You know, that could happen. But the fact of the matter is, it's not happening very often, not happening very successfully. And thirdly, it's not God's way for it to happen. Amen? There is something better for a child. Now, can children survive the worst families? Yes, there's evidence all over the planet. Are there other families or other children that don't seem to do well even in great families? Yes, it's true, abundantly clear, all over the planet. But God's plan is that people be born again and then be adopted into the family of God and be raised to maturity. That's His plan. Can people be exposed in the woods and somehow survive? Yes, but that's not God's best, and that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to be born again and placed within a family, His family. Number two, families grow and come together through commitment. Think about that. Shared values, shared plans. And a family pulls together for commitment. I admire to see those families that do stuff like this. They work very hard at a job. Everybody becomes a part of the family business. This is not a new model. In fact, this is an ancient model. And then they help the others get their own business started. And by the time a generation or two has gone by, you have six businesses going with six different households, and they're all starting the process all over again. And they have a very strong value of family. And regardless of whether they really like each other and even want to live together, they do. They live under the same roof. They maximize the size of the house that they have. They make do. They sacrifice. And they go through this intense commitment and then have a good result for the family. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42 says this. Those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So what's the church about? The church is about five basic commitments people need to make in order to flourish in Christ. Okay? Biblically, I'm referring this to, we're seeing the church developing and doing its mission in the book of Acts. If you want to know how the church is supposed to function ideally, look at the book of Acts. We get to see what's happening in Jerusalem. And we see them make mistakes. We see them almost get knocked completely out of the game. We see the Holy Spirit working and wisdom working and other things happening. These people are not perfect. Look at your neighbor and say they were not perfect. We have a tendency to look to the past and say those people were perfect, but we just can't get it together. What's the deal? No, they were a mess. These people were sketchy and shady. These people were a mess. But here's what they devoted themselves to. It says, it uses this phrase. They devoted themselves. They accepted the message and were baptized. And they devoted themselves to what? Here it is. Baptism in water. Apostolic teaching. Fellowship. Communion. And prayer. They did these how? Together. We Americans want to figure out how to do this on an iPad. That's not church. That's individual spiritual life, but you have to understand something. When it comes to the family of God, there is an individual responsibility, and then there is a corporate communion that we have to have in order to come to the fullness of what He has in store for us. So they addicted themselves, devoted themselves to this. They followed up that event of being born again with baptism in water, apostolic teaching, fellowship, communion, and prayer. I just want to say this morning, we're going to develop this in our church life, and I'm going to go on to the next point. But these five things need to be the serious, important things that we do together as a church. And you know, I won't get in trouble. I hope I won't get in trouble with you. But there's something down in my spirit that says, I wish we did communion more often. What if communion, I'm just putting this out there. It's not for vote. But I'm just saying, when it comes to communion, when they got together, they celebrated the Lord's table. And it was a way of always bringing them back to, this is why we get together. And there was a movement that said, oh, no, we don't want to do stuff like mainstream churches do because we're Spirit-filled. And so we said, okay, we'll do it because it's biblical, but let's do it the minimum amount of times because we don't want to become liturgical. And so I'm sitting here looking at this and say, look, this is what the addictions, you know, we live in an addicted society, don't we? I mean, people are addicted to all kinds of stuff. What would happen if Vision Church were addicted to seeing people born again, then baptized in water, given apostolic teaching, biblical teaching on the basics, fellowship, connected together, being cared for in community, having communion and celebrating the Lord's table regularly, much more regularly than we do, and addicted ourselves to prayer. You know what would happen? I think health, H-E-A-L-T-H, health would break out everywhere. People would live a much more healthy spiritual life. We would be a much more healthy church because we would find ourselves having the addictions of the first century church. And I'm just going to leave that there and go on. Complete devotion leads to complete development and fruition. Incomplete devotion leads to nothing but problems. Look, if we're sitting here saying, what's the minimum we need to do to make it to heaven? We're already in trouble. But if we're sitting here saying, what can I do to secure my future with God and then maximize everything He has for me in my life? Wow, that's a whole different ballgame. I mean, you can do minimums and live, but you have to do maximums in order to live with excellence and power and authority. And God's plan is not for us to barely creep by and slide in by the hair of our chinny chin chin. His desire is for us to be victorious, to be overcomers, to stand up and show the devil what's for. And to do that, we have to do that by being addicted to what the early church was being addicted to. I suspect if we were addicted to what the early church was addicted to, we would overcome like the early church overcame. Simple, right? Easy to say, a little more difficult to do, right? Number three, families grow in strength and influence through baptism in the Spirit, development of fruit, and function in the body. This is what we see in the New Testament church. This is what we see Christ's idea being lived out in the lives of people under the leadership of His disciples, later called apostles, or called by Him apostles. As a church body, we bring impact to our Jerusalem through our submission to the Spirit. Baptism in the Spirit, development of fruit, function in the body. That's what we need to look at. Go back one slide, dear brother. I ran ahead of him. Baptism in the Spirit. There's a separate baptism from water. Scripture calls it the baptism in the Spirit. People who are born again really need to be baptized in the Spirit because this opens up a door of power and supernatural things that they have not been aware of before that. This is something about the birthright that has come, the full blessing of God that has been prepared for those who come to know Him. He wants you to have everything He's got for you. We've heard that story so many times about the person who was actually the inheritor of a very wealthy person, but they somehow didn't make the reading of the will and had no idea that they were that long-lost nephew. And just before they passed away, they find out that they're actually the only heir of this great billionaire. And yet they never lived with its privilege and never lived with his resources. Why? Because they simply did not know and did not avail themselves of that which was given to them. And it never came across. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go into eternity, look back and go, my goodness, how many things did I leave on the table? How many things did I not take advantage of that God gave me? And so we need to be a people who grow in strength and influence through being baptized in the Spirit, the development of the fruit of the Spirit, which is not contrary to the baptism in the Spirit, and we discover our function in the body, the church. You see, if we think we can do it all by ourselves, we don't see the place where we can function. I remember having a discussion when I got that cat for Valentine's. Don't worry, I'm not getting you another cat for Valentine's. The church gave us a cruise, and we're going to be in suite 214, February 14th, on the 7th deck. Yeah. So thank you. You made that possible. We bring a submission through that fruit of the baptism of the Spirit, the development of His fruit, and finding a function in the body. When I went to get that cat, spoke to a couple who had been out of church for years, and they talked about, we're kind of looking around and so on and so forth. I said, I just want you to consider one thing before I go with this cat. I made sure I had the deal done so they didn't get mad and take the cat back. Then I said, with the cat under my arm, my cat, right? I said, look, not only are you missing something by being in a church, there is a church that's missing you. You have gifts, you have abilities. There is a body somewhere that's hurting because you're not in place. There are some people not being encouraged because you're not there. There's some flow of God's grace that could be coming into His body that can't come into His body because they don't know you and you don't know them. So I want to challenge you to overlook some of these things that have happened in the past and consider and ask God, God, would you put us in an imperfect body with imperfect people and give us the grace to tolerate them while we receive from them and they receive from us. All to your glory and honor and praise. And they sat there like they had just had a prophet from God come down with a chariot from heaven and give them a word. It was like, wow. I hope they did something about it, went to church. I don't know. Sometimes as human beings, we can have God speak to us in a fiery chariot and still not go and obey. I don't know. I hope they did. As a church body, we bring impact to our Jerusalem through our submission to the Spirit. And we do that together. Amen? He calls us together with grace and grace flowing through the different gifts and the different sinews and the different joints and the different body parts. And we come together and we do our thing by the power of the Spirit. And He does His thing through the power of a unified body. And heaven comes down and changes our situation and changes our community. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. That's a good high point. So, here's what we do. We can ace this. Accept Christ's gift of life through being born again. Keep praying for those lost loved ones. But raise the importance of, look, there's only one way. It's through Jesus. They've got to come. They've got to get opportunity. Pray like mad for them to have an opportunity. Some opportunity for someone to simply and clearly share the gospel with them and bring the gospel. Accept Christ's gift of life through being born again. Then connect to His plan for togetherness and unity. Look, born again people need the church. And the church needs new born again people because they bring new zeal and new excitement. And some of us forgot about what it was like to be born again. And we need to be reminded every week of how awesome it is to have been lost and now be found. Amen? And then express His kingdom within the world. Those new babies in Christ, they know what it's like to live in the world. They have no clue what it means to live in the household of God. And let me tell you, there's some standards and there's some things you need to understand. And you need somebody who loves you and sticks close to you and is your guide and coaches you through and doesn't take you and throw you out with the garbage to the curb, but lifts you up in prayer, points you to the Word, opens their own life to you and says, "Been where you are and I've had the T-shirt, but I've learned what it means to live for God, and I learned what it is to live in the difficulty called the church. But I want to tell you something, it's one of the worst and best things of God on the earth." Amen. Is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a collection of perfect people waiting for heaven, but it is a collection of forgiven, imperfect people being shaped and changed and being ground against one another, taking off the rough edges so that God's grace might be released in them. And so for the big piece de la resistance, the people around us say, that church couldn't do that. There's got to be a God. There's got to be a God in heaven. Because have you seen that group of people? They don't have enough power to blow up a wet paper bag. They couldn't do it. Something's going on. And I'll tell you what something's going on. Heaven's coming down. God's grace is being revealed. And imperfect people with their imperfect problems have been forgiven and are being perfected by the glory and the power and to the glory and the honor of Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Give Him a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. And now if you'll stand to your feet, I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. But first, I've got a question with every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you that question again before we close and leave. Are you really born again? I didn't say, are you perfect? Do you still struggle? Everybody in this room could raise our hand. I will raise my hand. I still struggle. I still deal with imperfections. I still deal with rebellion and things in my heart that aren't right. I'm not asking that question. I'm asking, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again of the Spirit? Have you been made a new creation, a new beginning put into your life? If you can't answer that question, an emphatic yes, I'd like for you to lift your hand and you would like to be born again. I want you to raise your hand right where you are, real high. This is not something to be ashamed of or afraid of. Say, I want to be born again. I've never been born again. And I want to be born again. Let me just show you how easy it is. You come before the Creator of the universe who's listening for you. His eyes and are looking at you. His ears have been straining to hear this. And just come to Him and say, you're right. I'm broken and I'm done and I'm sinful. But Jesus is not and He's paid the price. I accept what He did back there almost 2,000 years ago, and that you raised Him to prove that He was innocent. He's the innocent one. I'm the guilty one. I accept the price. Thank you. Thank you. That is as simple as it can be and as simple as it gets. There can be a transaction occur where you are born again. And once that happens, you need to connect to His plan and begin to express His kingdom. And that's found in the context of His family. And He has got a family on the earth. And right here at Vision Church, we're part of His family. Surely, as big as His family is on the earth, you can find a place to connect and express His kingdom. If it's not here, let me help you find where it is. But get there, connect, and express His kingdom. He has a plan for you to be blessed, to grow, and to express His kingdom upon the earth. And He can't hardly wait till you connect with it, and He can't hardly wait to bring it to pass in your life. So, Lord, I just pray over this body, and I pray, Lord, those hesitations in our heart that cause us to not want to connect, to not want to trust, to not want to become open, Lord, I pray for You to speak to that by Your Spirit and to bring that healing and correction and replacement and grace to that lack in that heart, that pain in that heart, that disconnect, Lord, I pray. You are the great connector. And I pray that connection upon people's hearts and lives. And Lord, we want to express your kingdom, and it's expressed best, not solo, but flying in groups. So Lord, I pray that Vision Church, I pray this over this congregation, that we can become a powerful expression of your kingdom here in 76135. That we can powerfully express your kingdom here when we join together at 4024 Dakota Trail. That we can powerfully express your kingdom when we come together, link our gifts together, link our hearts together, link our anointings together, and we see more of Jesus made known. Lord, I pray that there would be a new excitement and a new desire to see maximum of your kingdom revealed and revealed in our midst. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And amen. Lord bless us as we go. Brother Jim, it's sure good to see you today. Amen. Aren't you glad to see Brother Jim in here today?